So we're on the next lesson. We've talked about joyful submission and loving leadership. And so since we've been talking about how to love one another, we're going to focus in on, as Dave titled it, what is love? And if you're from my generation, baby don't hurt me. Yeah. Yeah, I read it instantly. I thought, okay, I know. I know. Yes. So, sorry.
We'll sing some hymns and get out of here.
That's right. Sanctified. So, right, there's some interesting, I was going to look up some of my own, but I thought these were funny as well. So, right, these authors' perceptions of love. Right? I'm a marvelous housekeeper. Every time I leave a man, I keep his house. From Zsa Zsa Gabor, the earlier. Women marry men hoping they will change. Men marry women hoping they will not. So each is inevitably disappointed. From Einstein. He did that right after the theory of relativity. He came up with that quote as well. Whenever I date a guy, I think, is this the man that I want my children to spend their weekends with? From Rita Rudner. Ouch. So, right, I was thinking of two, I don't know, I think you mentioned it in a sermon one time that there's a book and sometimes the vows now changing from as long as we both shall love,
yep.
Right, instead of as long as you both shall live. Just that, well, what is love, right? So that's what we're talking about. And so we're going to get into 1 Corinthians 13, right, this famous passage about love. And it's interesting that it's not found in the midst of Paul's directions to wives and husbands. That's not where this is located. So if you guys want to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, let's look at real quick the context before we get into the passage. So it's right in between 12 and 14. Yes, that's the kind of tips I give at school. Yes, right before 2 Corinthians, right after 0 Corinthians. Yes. It's right in the middle. So you'll notice there, you can look back through verses 11 and, or chapters 11 and 12, talking about head coverings, the Lord's Supper and communion, spiritual gifts and exercising the gifts in the midst of the body. Chapter 14 continues to talk about the use of prophecy, the use of tongues, and orderly worship. And so sandwiched right there in the middle is this chapter on love. And so he's addressing these believers in this church and talking all about how they're to live and minister to one another in the church. And there's some background here that there was a lot of strife, some jealousy, infighting, and they're divisive over many issues, including spiritual gifts, a lot of discussion about speaking in tongues, when and how to do that. In the first chapter of Corinthians, it talks a lot about, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. There's lots of this divisiveness that was happening within the body. And so that's kind of the context and the place in which this Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13 takes place. So he's going to exhort them, and he's going to exhort us on the most excellent way. If you look at the end of chapter 12, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And so he kind of takes a break from critiquing and instructing to give them a clear exhortation on what love is. And so we're going to look at 15 different characteristics that are listed here throughout. And we're going to apply them, realizing that this applies to whenever we love one another, these are the characteristics we should have. And we kind of talked about how in a marriage, you're applying all of the commands that we have to love one another, but it's the most immediate, most daily, most closest relationship and context where we have to do that. All right. So our text is going to be 4 through 7, but I thought we could go back and read from verse 1, kind of getting that context of the things in the church, the gifts in the church that they were exercising, along with the need for love. So do you have a volunteer that would read there 1 Corinthians maybe 1 through 7?
Me.
Yes, thank you.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Awesome. Okay, so there's quite a few things there, right? And so, kind of the teacher and me, right? Let's list them out real quick, and then we'll take some time to kind of go through them one by one. So we have love. And you'll notice that he gives some positive and some negative, right? I don't know, unloved, not love, unloving. Maybe I'll make this loving. And we'll kind of contrast those as we go through. So, all right, what's our first one? Love is?
Patient.
You guys are great. What would I put over here then for unloving would be to?
Impatient.
Oh, you're good. Right. So we've got the positive.
Right? Oh, I see what you're doing.
Right, and then what's the next one? Star student, right?
Nice.
Kind, right? But unloving would be unkind. Oh, you guys. Okay, now watch out. What's the next one?
See, it only took one of them.
Unenvious.
Unenvious, right?
We're choosing the un, right? Not it. Does not envy.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you want? Unenvious, or should we say does not envy, or?
Content.
Yeah, what's actually the difference?
It's tricky. Tricky. Yeah, so we're going to talk about them specifically, but.
Not envy.
Not envious? I don't know.
Envious?
Not envious. Not envious. Right, so it says the negative, right? And over here? Oh, that's envious. All right, keep going. Not
brag.
Boastful, okay.
Discontented.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, what's the positive here? We'll think about what would be the positive. And so over here, boastful. What's the next one?
Not arrogant.
Okay. And we got like a lot more to go.
Yes.
What's the next one?
Rude.
Not rude, right? And rude. Next one?
Insist on its own way.
Yeah, not insistent on own way. And we'll just say insists on own way.
Not my way or the highway.
Not my way or the highway. That's right. That's a different tattoo. All right, next.
Not irritable.
Not irritable.
Mr. Marshall?
Yes.
8 comes after 7.
No way. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I know. I know. It's all right. I'm not irritable. Don't worry. We're getting there. I think we're over half. Where are we at? Nine.
Resentful.
Resentful. Not resentful. Okay. Jared, you can help me if I get out of line again. Okay. After not resentful.
Not rejoicing at wrongdoing.
Oh, yeah. That's a tricky one. So, not... rejoice at wrongdoing. And if someone does rejoice, this is a noisy board. All right, got a few more. 11.
There's all. All
right.
God rejoices in the truth.
Oh, okay. Rejoices in the truth?
You were just so excited about
that. I was very excited. Get back to the positive side.
Yeah, I don't get the positive there. Okay, and I guess not rejoicing. Truth, and then we're to the whole thing.
Bears all things.
Okay. So.
Jumping in.
Bears all things. What's the next positive one?
Bears
all things.
And
endures.
No, right, it doesn't. All right, there you go. Save some time. Woo!
Save some time. Yeah.
It's a big list, right? Okay, so let's just do some quick observation, right? We've got two positive things, we've got several, it's not this, and then ending with some positives. Hey, what are some other just general observations you'd kind of make about his list when you compare what is loving, what's unloving, and the way he's describing love?
Two negatives do not equal a positive.
expound a little bit. What you mean?
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
All right.
Okay.
It's actually kind of interesting that all of these things pertain to one word, so it's highly personal and complex. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he's like. This is a lot of things.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was that way then, but love gets used a lot, especially in our language, and it can mean thousands of different things to thousands of, you know, I love pizza. You know, that's different.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, never say I love you and I love pizza in the same sentence.
Doesn't quite have the same. Yeah. What else? Any observation? Other observations?
Other people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Especially right. This the theme that we'll see is that many times when we talk about what's the difference between the loving and the unloving act, right? Is focusing on others versus
yourself,
right? Yeah. So this list, definitely the loving is, right? It's you'll see consistently over and over, others over self. Whereas over here, these tend over and over and over again tend to put self. L comes first. Self.
Selfless versus selfish.
Over. That's nice. Yeah. Selfish. Selfless.
So the loving on the positives, like, they're all things that are proven over time. It's not like a one, I mean, some of them can be one-time act, like kindness or whatever, but, like, if you are kind, that's proven over time.
Mm-hmm. And what about unkind and those type of things? Are those over time or are those instantly recognizable? Yes. So I said yes. Yeah. Both, right? You can have unkind moments, unkind words, arrogant moments, rude words, but you can also be proven over time to be.
I find it interesting that you have to be patient and kind in order to deal with the next list of negatives that go behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that that's listed first.
Yeah, I was wondering if anyone was going to, right? Is there a reason, right? These are our first two. Being patient, being kind allows this. Gives us a foundation.
I think there's a balance in them, and that there's two particular that I'm thinking of. And then on the one hand, love believes all things, but it also rejoices in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So love does not believe lies.
Yeah.
Love does not believe naively, but it believes truthfully.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more when we get to that, how that's like, what is the literary kind of method that Paul is using here when he's saying believes all things and endures all things. Like, we know that that doesn't mean that we believe lies, and so, yes?
It kind of starts piece by piece, the fundamental levels and layers, patient, kind, and then it goes into the broader of bears all things, hopes all things, I mean, yours all things. So it's speaking to a broader nature at that moment, mm-hmm. at the end, mm-hmm. after it's discerned what is within, I think, composing it.
Yeah, you've got some specific and you've got some more broad thing.
Yeah. I think it's interesting how it starts with patient and it ends with endures all things.
It's like a patient sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that. And I think especially as we talk more and more as a church about, you know, our focus on learning to counsel one another and counseling people through working through sin, working through sanctification, there's a certain aspect in which when we love someone, there's a lot of being patient and enduring as that process usually doesn't happen right away. And especially with our spouse, if we're having difficulties in conflict, it often isn't like the 30-minute sitcom resolution. You know, like, oh, there's a problem, and then we do this, and now it's all solved. Right? There's a patience that's required and endurance to bear all things.
And some of them are internal dispositions,
mm-hmm.
pretty much exclusively,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are exclusively external, and a lot of them will be shown both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've got internal and external.
I think, especially towards the end, it's, love is very consistent. Endure all things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopes in all things. It's not sometimes and then the other. It's all the time.
Yeah. Consistent, like steadfast, unchanging. Those be consistent. Right.
And you don't get the sense that it's conditional.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not based on anything else. Like, this is just what love is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't give us any, love is kind when blank, 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 right? It's just love is kind. We're going to look at some other texts, too. Like, we'll talk about Jesus talking about loving, you know, how we're to love our enemies, as well as love those who love us, and that kind of supports that. Do you see any emotions up here in the description? Love is infatuated or happy?
Resentful.
So, yeah.
Right?
Kind of an internal, which could maybe work its way out in some different, right? Maybe. Right? So there's a little bit of like, feel, right? But for the most part, these are all like verbs, actions that we see, right? This is how love acts more than how it feels.
Right, like none of these are things that happen to you. None of them.
No check.
But I think we tend to think that love is a thing that, you know, you get to a certain age and it comes upon you and then all of your life choices are made. And
mm-hmm.
as long as that stays upon
you. You fall into it. And
yeah, right. Even that verbiage is,
mm-hmm.
You don't fall into not being resentful. You choose over
right.
and over and over.
Right. And all, yeah, like you said, all things that you can and must choose yourself to do. You're there, the actions that are linked to you as an individual. It's pretty good.
It does not say complete me.
That's true, right? Love doesn't say you have to be completed. I don't know. I didn't think of any other common.
Never having to say you're sorry.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You've got good. What else?
Well, I look up love songs when I wrote this.
Yeah. Okay. We'll bring you some more in next time. Okay. So let's. We'll just start at the beginning. There's a note right here that does talk about how when you look at the Greek text, it's not really adjectives. Like, it's describing these in terms of the verb. Okay, so Paul doesn't really describe it more what it is as much as he describes what love does. So when you love, you show patience. You show kindness. So, and just kind of think, I think one thing that can be helpful for us is to remember that we're called to love everyone. Love our enemies, love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're specifically applying it to our marriage. But this is not just, okay, I need to do this with my spouse, and then that's good, right? So let's look at our first one. Love is patient. So I have some people that would read kind of our three different, we got some other uses here. So someone to grab, here we got Matthew. Let me just get that one. Tanner, thank you. Good volunteering. He's going to get that one. Noah, thank you for volunteering for 1 Thessalonians. I saw your hand. It was just getting ready to move. And Jack, yes, thank you for 2 Peter. Their hands, they don't. You guys don't see them as fast, but they're totally. It's really quick. Okay, go ahead.
And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything.
All right, awesome. Noah.
We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all.
Awesome. Jack.
The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance.
Yeah. So all kind of uses of that word patience that we see from Scripture. So just thinking about that, what kind of feel does that give you for what is meant? Like, how would you define patience when he's saying love is patient? What sense do you get from those?
Yeah, there's a sense where you don't you withhold your wrath.
Mm-hmm.
You don't snap or do those little, make those punishing comments or demeaning comments.
Mm-hmm.
Or show, like, you know, you're going to have to make this up to me because of what you're doing to me. So it's kind of it's withholding your wrath.
Yeah, there's definitely the sense of withholding the wrath, right? Like in the 2 Peter, patient toward you, not wishing that you should perish.
I think it also implies a length of time that's undefined.
Yeah.
So you may have to be patient for a few months or a few years.
Decades. Yeah. It's good.
I think it implies that patience requires that you press pause on your impulses and instincts.
Or stop, but yeah, it's just stop or pause.
Yeah, slow it
down. Yeah, let's wait and see. Yeah, for sure. I guess, what do you think about, so like, if you look at the idea of the first context, have patience with me and I will pay everything. So like the idea was be patient and then something's gonna happen that will change. In 1 Thessalonians, they're urging the brothers to be patient with all, right? And then in 2 Peter, right, being patient towards us, not wishing that we should perish, but, right, there's this kind of this sense in waiting for something to happen, that all should reach repentance. So what do you guys think? Is patience, is there an aspect where patience is waiting for something? Does it require that something happen later on?
That be where the hope and forgiveness then comes in, because something may change or it may not, and then that's where forgiveness comes in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a sense, like you said, something may change, and it may not. Right. And I think when I'm a high school teacher, and so sometimes I'm patient with students, but it's like I think the wrong way for me to be patient sometimes is I just have to control myself with this kid until I can, the day's over or the semester's over, right? And I'm not like hopefully longing for this good change to happen in them. I think that there's a sense in which here in the 2 Peter, when we're showing patience, it's not just keeping ourselves from sinning, but it's also there's a longing, a hopefulness towards the person that you're being patient with. So if I've got a student that's a real difficulty, a real patience, a godly patience is enduring and hoping for and helping to kind of bring them, hopefully bring them along so that there's a positive change, regardless of whether that happens or not, right? Is there a sense in which kind of you can see that difference in a marriage, right?
I think part of patience is you don't burn things down. You don't burn the bridge. You don't do the thing to destroy the relationship.
Yeah.
And that's one way that kind of gives hope for like a future, like God being patient with us, he doesn't just kill us and send us to hell,
mm-hmm.
like he could, but
yeah.
he waits for our eventual restoration,
mm-hmm.
and endures our sin against
mm-hmm.
him until that.
Yeah, Gabe.
Yeah, I guess I'm just to look at closer at the Matthew
mm-hmm.
verses
there,
right?
Sure.
It says, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. They could have used the words, for I will pay you everything, and that it has a different implication.
Mm-hmm.
It means like there's a contingent
mm-hmm.
Thing, but the and is a, just as a conjunction means, please do this first part and hold. I will do this second part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different than
mm-hmm.
saying, I will do this in exchange for your patience. And I think that's important to talk
mm-hmm.
about.
Yeah, I mean, in that context, did the servant pay him back everything? No. Could not. Could not.
I think there's a sense of discernment, too, that comes with patience. Because
mm-hmm.
I think about with parenting, like sometimes you can be patient, but then there comes a point where you need to, like, halt it and say,
mm-hmm.
okay, we're going to end this right now, or there is no more. And so I think there's discernment in deciding how long to be patient and then when to decide.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on maybe a slight difference too, and like, is patience an attitude in, with which we act, or is it a lack of acting? So sometimes you can be patient with your children, but still be actively disciplining and addressing sin in their life. Sometimes, so it doesn't necessarily mean patience is I'm not going to address something in my marriage or with my kids.
It's like, in a marriage, like if there was, you know, I don't know, sin or something that you were being patient with, there might come a point where you need to act and, I don't know, take action and have somebody help with that sin, or, you know, step in or...
Right, and I think that we want to make sure that patience is not just putting up with things.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we address them, but we endure, whether that's, I have to address it once or twice, and that attitude that you're not burning things down and it's over and that's the end, this is the last time.
I think we see that in the Thessalonians passage, that you're admonishing the idle, you're encouraging the faint-hearted, you're helping the weak, and with all of them, as you're doing that, you're doing it patiently,
mm-hmm.
which means you might be doing it again and again without wrath for their good.
Yeah.
Whether
and you're not
helping the weak into heaven or admonishing the idle because they just keep going back to their
mm-hmm.
sin.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, I'm telling you for the last time, or, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's kind of a balance there, because again, sometimes you look for ways to make clear to them, you know, well, it seems like this is not changing, but showing patience is
mm-hmm.
it's a difficult thing. Can you guys think of examples in a marriage where you have the opportunity to really show your spouse patience in this way, or where you see sometimes people can fail to show patience? What are some common, not your own marriages,
yeah.
maybe a friend of yours.
If the husband is slurping soup.
If he snores.
Hypothetically.
Be patient for the rest of
the night. Any other things?
Pregnancy.
Ah. Like waiting to...
Just being patient with her because everything has changed.
Yeah.
Yesterday and today, and you're not sure about tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I didn't know if at first you meant like patient to get pregnant or patient once she is pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of those things.
I'll kind of build on that too. I mean, part of being patient is not necessarily when you're sinned against, but when the other person just can't do what they normally can do.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
we're all, you know, adults here, so the female cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's times where your wife just can't do what she could do at other times, and mm-hmm. you don't become resentful about that. You're patient with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that one way that I've seen in other families is that if, not ours, but if the honey-do list, if the wife has something that I would really like you to do, you know, okay, and can you please do this? And yes, I'll get to that, right? And then it's like, well, does he get to it that day, or another day goes by, or a week goes by? So there's a real tension sometimes to remind and maybe nag and that type of thing, or, you know, vice versa. If the husband asks the wife, can we do this or do this in our house? And maybe, right? If there's just this not going along our own, right? Self versus others, right? We have an agenda. We'd like things to get done at a certain time. There's a real opportunity to show patience,
yeah.
I guess, in that area. What would be maybe the world? Like, what would be the wrong ways? It's just like we've talked over here, right? Impatience. What's that look like in a marriage when we have to impatient? How are we going to recognize if we're being impatient with our spouse? Or just in general, how do we know when we're being impatient?
Persistent nagging.
Persistent nagging. That's right. How come this is not?
Yeah.
Could you? You know.
Free use of threats.
Threatening.
If you don't hurry up.
This is going to happen.
This is going to happen.
That's kind of building towards that burning down of.
Yeah. So you threaten. You threaten wrath.
You threaten. Yeah. And then after that, maybe a showing actual wrath and or explosive anger. Be impatient.
So in each of these passages and mm-hmm. there's in scripture in general, patience is something that is always needs to be shown by the one who's in the position of strength to the one who's in the position of weakness. So in whatever my area of strength is, say I am well spoken and my husband is slow to speak. This mm-hmm. is not the case in my marriage. Mm-hmm. But let's just say then my impatience is going to show itself in talking over him, talking for him, not waiting, rolling my eyes when he doesn't have a quick answer, just things like that. I mean, wherever you have a position of strength, how you look at and treat the one in the position of weakness, whatever it is, that's what impatience is naturally going to look like.
I think there's a, is there a note there about, is that Chrysostom says that, right? It's a word for... which is used of a man who is wronged and who has it easily in his power to avenge himself, but will never do it.
Yeah.
Right? That you're not showing patience because you can't do anything about it, right? You actually, it's the opposite. You could act to make things different.
Well, I think, and when you step back and kind of look at both of these lists as a whole, the unloving side is all about tearing the other person down, whereas the loving side is all about building them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're being patient and you're looking for their good and building them up and waiting for them to figure it out, you know, if they're working on something, it's not jumping in and doing it for them right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's helping from the sideline and helping them do it instead of looking and tearing them down and thinking, well, I can just do it way better than them and doing it for them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also the sense in which I think in a lot of these, all of them, right, we are displaying love, and this scripture that tells us that we love, right? We do these things because Christ first loved us. And so there's a sense in which we can understand patience in the way that Christ has shown us patience, right? He shows us patience before, right? In the Thessalonians passage, or the 2 Peter, not wishing that we should perish, but that we should reach repentance, right? Before we were saved, he's shown us great patience. And then during our sanctification, we see that in 1 Thessalonians, that he encourages us to be admonished and encouraged and helped, but God wants to continually show us patience, wanting to bring us to completion. So there's that sense in which, with our spouse and everyone that we're showing that love to, that we're have the end in mind, this whole process in mind, that we're just constantly working for and hoping for this better, and we're patiently enduring at every step. Is it, what do you see a relationship between, we talked about a little bit, patience and self-sacrifice, right? How is it like self-sacrificial to be a patient person, or to show patience.
I think of my daughter, and she's learning a lot of new things right now. Mm-hmm. Learning how to stand on her own, she's learning how to crawl, and it's hard for me to be patient and to let her figure things out instead of just doing them for her. And I'm sure that's going to be something we deal with on my side for a long time. You know, I think when she's a toddler and she wants to put on her own shoes, and I may want to get out the door right away, but really there's no reason that we need to get going fast. So it's okay to let sit and wait and let her figure it out and put her own shoes on.
That's good. I like the getting out the door right away. I know maybe I've been tempted to do the old honk the horn, you know. But in truth, usually I'm the one that's the last one in. I'm like, oh, they don't honk the horn. And they're all just waiting, right? But there's that sense, right? Okay, we're trying to keep a schedule or whatever you're doing. So, but it definitely helps, right, when you're the person that is needing to receive patience. To show patience to others, whether that's your spouse showing you patience or looking back to Christ who's been patient with you all through it all. All right, let's talk about the next positive one. Love is kind, okay? So this is kind of one of those ones where the word here, we don't have any other specific examples of that specific word being used. This is a unique one in this text. But it kind of contrasts with patience in that patience responds with love and kindness actively initiates. So one is a response and one is an initiator, right? Patience is how we respond to when things don't go our way, when we're wrong, when this is happening to us. Whereas kindness is an active initiator, all right? So let's look at this text in Matthew 5, okay? Matthew 5. Brian, you want to read that? You got it? Matthew 5, 40 to 41.
And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let them have your cloak as well. And if anyone forced you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles.
Yeah. We had a couple in the, there's another passage as well as Matthew 5 is in Luke 6. If you guys want to turn to Luke 6, look at that one as well. A couple of popular expressions we get from these texts that we've heard here all the time. Is it Luke 6? No. Oh, is that it? Yes. Yeah, so let's read 27 to 36. Ryan, you got that? Luke 6, 27 to 36.
But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise.
But that's good. That's good. We could go throughout there. We'll come back to that later. But right, the idea of turning the other cheek, going the extra mile, right? Those expressions kind of come from this text. So think about the combination of patience versus the kindness here. So what would be if someone were to just show patience? How would they react in these situations? So, someone sues you to take your tunic. A patient person would
let them take it.
Yeah, here you go. Right? And they can have it. And then they go their way. Right? And so how does kindness, what's kindness do?
You look cold. Would you like my tunic?
Yeah, why don't you take this as well, right?
Take extra one too.
Yeah, here's what you asked for, but I see that you have a need, and you initiate something more, something beyond, right? And so you've got they force you to go 1 mile. You patiently, yes, I will go with you 1 mile. Reach the mile. Okay, there you go. Right, But if you notice that then they go back and they're struggling, they need help carrying their load, this kindness is, no, I can go further, right? We can go further than this, right? We can do more than this, right? So what does that look like? I mean, in what are other examples where we not only show patience, but we can go beyond that, maybe with your spouse or just in general in ministry?
If somebody, let's say they insult you, the invasion is you just take it quietly. But kindness would be like you laugh and you say you're right. You know, like that was pretty funny what you just said. And maybe even, you know, responding with some encouragement the other way. Not in a scornful, I'm holier than you way.
Yeah. Well, so what are some places where we've talked about how we can show patience with our spouse, but how can we show kindness kind of on top of that?
There's a tendency where our patience will wane, but when you actively show kindness, you're changing your heart towards that person.
I think so. Yeah, I think sometimes if I think about tasks that we're trying to get done at home, and it's like, who's going to do this and who's going to do that? I think patience, sometimes I'm patient in that I'll just wait, and whenever she can get to it, then that's patience. But kindness might be, can I help you do this? You know, is there a way I can support you? Is there a way that we can do this together? You know, there's that actively coming alongside and helping, not just you can handle it on your own and I'll wait.
Yeah, I was going to go along with that, just a real life example. So I went back to full-time work this year, and Ryan has been patient that the laundry's not done and the sink's full of dirty dishes, but he's also been kind in that I'll come home and that's
oh, fine. Yes. Husband points.
For sure.
That's huge.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if someone asks you to do a mile, wasn't that culturally something that the Roman people could enforce on someone and say, hey, carry my pack for a mile?
I have heard something similar, but I haven't done the research to remember exactly whether that was Roman or cultural, or whether that was Jewish, you know? What's that?
Check the study Bible notes.
Yeah. Everybody check your study Bible. Here we go.
Being patient in what you're supposed to do. I think it worked, and I deal with motor vehicle tag renewals, and people come to my office, they don't bring their insurance. So I can be patient with them while they look for it, but I can be kind in calling their local insurance agent and saying, hey, I've got so-and-so in my office. Can you fax their insurance over to me? Definite kindness and going above and beyond what's expected. Spouse asks you to take out the trash. Well, you can be patient and take out the trash, but kindness is coming back and putting a new trash bag in.
Or doing the whole house and not just...
going to every bathroom and taking all the trash out instead of just the kitchen trash like your house. I don't know, that's how I kind of categorize it in my head.
Yeah, very much so. I think that you said it right in that with kindness, it's going beyond the requirement, right? It goes beyond patience and just enduring without actively sinning, but it takes an active part in initiating goodness for that person.
It goes beyond withholding your wrath to actively blessing.
Right. And we see that, we talked about with Christ, that it wasn't just that he was patient, right? It wasn't just that he was forbearing, but he actually sent Christ to seek and save us, and that showed us that kindness. Let's go ahead and finish that text. So we're reading in Luke 6. So it talks about turning the other cheek and giving to everyone who begs from you. He says, if you love those, this is in 32 to 36, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those From whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So Jesus really connects your actions to both your own good and the way in which you can relate to and be like the Father in this action. He says over and over, what good is that? What benefit is that to you? He's talking about how when we love our enemies, right? When we bless those who curse us, when we lend, not expecting anything in return, what does he say? What's the result of that? Look at the text here in Luke 6. What's the result of when we do that?
You'll be the sons of the Most High.
You'll be sons of the Most High. Your reward will be great. Great reward. Does he say that anything about the relationships or your enemies, or they won't curse you anymore, or, right? There's a sense in which your actions in response to being cursed or having enemies, right? Your actions are all about how you're relating to the Father and being like the Father, being sons of the Father. And so when we think about loving our spouse and just loving in general, we have to remember that our focus is vertical, first of all. It's with our relationship with God first, and that when we love in that way, he says, we will be sons or sons and daughters of the Most High. Right? We'll be like him. He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Heavenly Father is merciful. So I think this is a good start. Next time when we get in, we'll jump into the don't be these things, right? So, and if you're just to let you know, if you catch yourself being envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude, insisting on your own way, irritable, and resentful, a little dash light should go off. Hey, I remember that's not loving of my neighbor or my spouse. So let's pray together. Father, we give you great thanks for your instruction through your word, and more than that, through your Son, who lived a life of love and displayed your great love towards us. I pray that this week you would continually help us to be patient and lovingly endure all things, and to go beyond that and to show kindness. Just fill us with the fruit of your Holy Spirit and help us to walk by your Spirit, who empowers us to be patient and kind with all those we come in contact with our enemies, with those who persecute us or curse us, as well as with our family, with our spouses, with our church brothers and sisters, with our coworkers, and that in that you would help the world to see and help us to walk as your children, as sons and daughters of the Most High. Pray that you would guide us and bless us as we continue to come close and draw close to you today and give you worship. In your name, amen.